Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm going to read the whole chapter, a long scripture reading here. Praise be to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Sovim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. In other words, a double portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. This is Peninnah. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Nazarite vow. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until I have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. I'm going to stop right there. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the lessons of the Old Testament as well as of the New, Lord God. And I pray that we'll take your word to heart. I pray, Father God, that we'll hide it in our heart, that we sin not against thee, Lord. And Father, that you will just open it up to us, Father. Father, I just pray for each person here, Lord, regardless of what I speak this morning, Lord, regardless of what words may come out of my mouth, that your Spirit will speak to each person here, and they might hear what you and thy Spirit, Lord, has to say to your church people this morning, Father God. Hallelujah. Speak to each heart, Lord. Speak to each ear, Lord. Speak to each mind, Lord. Hallelujah. And let us each glean from your word and this time together, Lord, in your Spirit, exactly what it is that you have for each of us individually. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The name Hannah means grace. Peninnah means pearl. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe, you know, she was outwardly showy. I don't know. But Hannah means grace. And God permitted Elkanah, a priest, to have more than one wife, although nowhere in the Bible does God approve of that. Hannah couldn't have children, and yet Elkanah preferred her over Peninnah. Now, when they traveled to Shiloh, he gave Hannah a double portion of the peace offering. If you recall, now Shiloh was about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. This was before the temple would be built under Solomon, and this is the place where the tabernacle was located at this time. And they would go and make offerings unto the Lord. One was a peace offering where the people bringing it would share in eating of that offering. And Elkanah made sure that Hannah got twice the portion of Peninnah because he loved her so much more. You have to wonder why he married Peninnah in the first place, but who knows? And as Peninnah continued to taunt Hannah over her inability to conceive, Hannah finally took her plea directly to the Lord. That's what we should do all the time, isn't it? Take our plea directly to the Lord. No complaining, no whining, no, you know, beating our fists and, you know, why is this happening to me? What's going on here? Why can't I do this? Why can't I have that? Blah, blah, blah. Take it directly to the Lord. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 again. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, or greatly. She was really seeking the Lord. Have you ever really sought the Lord where you knew, Lord, I have to have an answer. I have to have it. And I'm not leaving here until I get it. You know, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. Just like Jacob with the angel of the Lord. And verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Praise be to God. This is the way to get prayers answered. Prayers that are extremely important to us. You know, we ask a lot of things of the Lord, you know, every day of our lives, but there are certain things that I know are extremely important to each one of us regarding either us or loved ones or acquaintances or whatever, and this is how we really get those prayers answered. What did she do? By devoting whatever benefit it is that we desire in our hearts to the God of whom we're asking it, so that He can bless us and be honored at the same time. That's the way to get a prayer answered. Lord, you answer this prayer, and whatever that blessing or benefit is, I'm going to dedicate it back to you. So you can be honored. You can be glorified at the same time that I'm getting that blessing. She dedicated Samuel after he was weaned to serve the Lord in his tabernacle all the days of his life. I'm reminded of Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise be to God. You know, Hannah's love is something to be greatly admired. She'd longed for a son. And now she was glad to know that Samuel was the Lord's. That is love, isn't it? Lord, you gave me this child, but I'm glad to know that he belongs to you. I had to learn that lesson with my kids, you know? God had to show me, you know, yes, I've granted you children, but they don't belong to you, they belong to me. Amen. And I had to get used to that, you know? I've said it before, I always had a problem with Job, you know, that his children were all killed. And God gave him new ones. And I'm saying to myself, I don't want new ones. I like the ones I got. And then God had to show me. They're not your children. They're mine. And I can do with them as I please. And that's, you know, it's hard to get used sometimes until we become mature Christians to the absolute sovereignty of God. That he has whatever he wills. That's it. In my life, in your life, in the world, in the entire universe, whatever he wills, that's it. I have to accept it. And I have to rejoice in it, because it is his will. Not always easy to get used to. You know, she knew that her sacrifice was best for Samuel. And I think probably, and I'm just, you know, expanding on the word here, which I always advise people not to do, but I think she probably sensed in her spirit that somehow Samuel was going to be good for Israel as well, which he did turn out to be. And you know, God graced her with 5 more children after Samuel. Praise be to God. So she could hear the patter of, you know, footsteps and go through all the things, you know, that we go through as parents. You know, the kid throwing up on you and all that stuff, you know, throwing up in the car. I remember heading to Cape Cod once with Dakota in the back seat. She was, I think, 3 years old. And we got as far as Brewster, and all of a sudden, threw up all over the car. But those are things, you know, that make for precious memories. Thank God they're in the past. Hallelujah. Samuel turned out to be the last judge of Israel. He was holy and spoke with authority. Why? Because he heard from the Lord.
Amen.
You and I can't speak with authority unless we're hearing from God. I love 1 Samuel 3:10. Where Samuel prayed this prayer, when he finally realized that God was trying to talk to him, he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That is a good prayer to pray. Lord, speak. I want to hear. I'm waiting to hear from you, Lord. Speak. I'm your servant, and I want to hear from you. And it was said of him in 1 Samuel 3:19 that none of his words fell to the ground. Oh, that we should have such men of God today. Amen? Do you realize how many words of so-called ministers and self-proclaimed prophets fall to the ground? Never come to pass? Look at Harold Camping. I told you last week, you know. He had a stroke right after that nonsense, you know. And he can't talk anymore. God shut his mouth, you know. He let him go once in 1994 when he predicted the end of the world.
That's right.
Gave him a second chance. Now, that's it. You know? You're not going to do it anymore. You know, there are 2 meanings to that phrase. The first is that whatever Samuel prophesied came to pass. Starting with the fall of Eli, his sons, and his corrupt ministry. But there's also a second meaning, where it speaks of one whose words are wise, so that you can go to that person, seek counsel, and their words are not going to fall to the ground. They're going to speak to your heart. They're going to give you wisdom as how to proceed in a certain area or whatever. And we all need people like that that we can go to, yes, don't we? Right. Yes. Whose words don't fall to the ground. Samuel was a prayer warrior and intercessor. You know, 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, it says that Samuel considered it a sin not to pray for other people. He said, I'm not going to sin. I'm going to pray. Even when they have gone astray, especially when they've gone astray, as Israel did, it would be a sin if I didn't pray for you. He was faithful in carrying out the will of God in his own life and judging Israel in general. You know, unfortunately, and I bring this up because it is Father's Day, even the godliest men and women can't always control their own children. Even the godliest make mistakes in judgment. That was obviously the case with Eli, whose sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were lowlifes. But it also was the case, amazingly, with Samuel. It says of his two sons, Joel and Abiah, in chapter 8, verse 3, "And his sons walked not in his ways." In other words, in the ways of the Lord. Imagine having a father like Samuel. From the time he was weaned, just serving the Lord every day of his life, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with wisdom, filled with prophecy, filled with fulfilling God's will on this earth. "And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre," money, "and took bribes and perverted judgment," or justice. And yet Samuel tried to get them appointed as judges to succeed him. No one is perfect, not even a godly man like Samuel. He blew it. And that was in large measure what prompted the people to call for a king. You want to put them in over us? No, we want a king just like the other countries in this world have, like the other nations around us. We want a king. Look at chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." You see what a lapse, an error in judgment can do. It can cause all kinds of unwanted ramifications. And we have to be so on guard to do that. I know that I've had lapses in judgment at times, and it's caused consequences that I didn't want. Thank God, God forgives, and God can redeem our mistakes. But we don't want to make them in the first place, do we?
That's right.
You know, there's a lesson here for us on Father's Day, that each person is individually responsible for their relationship or lack of such with God. You know, my kids, I was sharing just a few minutes ago, both gave their hearts to the Lord when they were young. Now they're, you know, 27 and 30. They've turned their back on all that. They're going about their ways, but I have to believe in the Scripture that says, train a child up in the way they should go when they're young, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I pray that God will draw them back every single day in my life, that He's going to draw them back into that place of fellowship with Him and recognize Him. You know, we took them out, I don't know, what was it, a year or so ago, down in Warwick, and I had a real frank word with them. You know, we were having pizza, and I told them, you know, I reminded them. I even showed, I had a letter from Angela, you know, who had led Matthew to the Lord. And Dakota, you know, when she was 10. And I told them, don't you realize that you gave your hearts to Jesus when you were younger? Don't you realize your need for a Savior? It's not just something you did when you were young and you turn your back and go your own way. And I really, you know, was very, and they were looking at me like, you know, where did this come from? You're preaching. Yeah, preaching to my kids, reminding them of what they had departed from and what they had, you know, just, I don't know. You know, I was the same way. I didn't come to the Lord till I was 33 years old. you know? And I had gone to Sunday school. I had, you know, my mother dragged me to this Pentecostal church with these weird people and everything else, speaking in tongues and doing all kinds of stuff. Ooh. And and I had known the Lord. But it wasn't until I was 33 that I came to know Him and really know Him, where I took Jesus into my heart and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've shared it over and over. My mother was 70 when she got saved. 70 years old. Had no vices. Didn't smoke, drink, swear, nothing. She was just a good, virtuous woman. But she needed the Savior, just like we all do.
That's right.
And she found Him, and then I've never seen a woman who lived in such perfect peace as my mother from that point on. She would just rock and watch the family at the gatherings, you know, and just sitting there in perfect peace, serenity across her face. And the nurse who, you know, when she died in that hospital in Florida, called me up to give me the news. She said she died with a smile on her face. She must have seen the angels coming for her, you know.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. She prayed me into the kingdom. And she prayed for all my four sisters. There are two of them in, two more to go. And I'm praying for them every day.
Amen.
And praise be to God. I'm trusting that God is going to answer those prayers. But even a mighty biblical figure like Samuel couldn't control his kids. We can't control other people. We can speak the truth. We can water the seeds of the word with prayer on a regular basis, but they're going to make their own choices, aren't they? Each and every person. Praise be to God. Now I want to get to the heart of this very simple message. Hannah desired with all her heart something of the Lord, a son. She longed for and sought after that desire year after year, despite opposition from the enemy, in this case, Peninnah. And there are things that I know that you and I desire, and the enemy comes against us. So you shouldn't expect that. That's okay for this person, but you're never going to experience that. You're never going to have that. She even had opposition from her own body. She couldn't conceive. And yet she petitioned the Lord, and He heard her heart's cry and granted her desire. But Hannah was of such a godly disposition that she dedicated her heart's achieved desire back to the Lord. You know, in reading the two Old Testament books that bear His name, we see the fruit that it bore in Samuel's life and in the life of God's Old Covenant people. Question. Is there something in your life that you desire with all your heart? Could be anything. Could be a form of ministry. Could be healing. Could be deliverance from some habit or whatever. Could be something concerning a loved one that you want desperately to see to come to pass. Whatever it is. And we all have true heart desires. If so, are we willing to earnestly seek the Lord on a consistent basis in order to achieve it and receive it, whatever it is? And then further, are we willing, having received an answered prayer, to dedicate what we've been blessed with back to the Lord? In other words, let go of it, let loose the controls, and allow God to pilot the fruits of that fulfilled desire as He sees fit. That's a hard thing to do, you know. It took me years to learn that lesson. You know, when I was ministering in the Methodist church, I wanted out so badly. I really did. I wanted to have a church like this, you know. And God would not release me until His perfect timing had come to pass. I've shared this, I'm going to share it again because there are new people here. But God gave me an open vision before I went into the Methodist church. You know what an open vision is? It means I can be standing here having a vision and yet be aware of everything that's going on around me at the same time. And in this vision, I was standing behind a pulpit like this. And Jesus was standing behind me, and there were a bunch of people, mostly older people, out there, and I was preaching. And they were sitting there like, just not receiving, you know, just not receiving. And I knew Jesus was behind me, and I said, Lord, they're not hearing it. They're not receiving it. And he said to me, keep preaching, you'll get a few. You'll get a few. And that's exactly what happened. Gave an altar call one Sunday. The Lord led me to do it in all the churches. I had five of them that I was responsible for. And about 13 or 14 people who had been in the Methodist church for decades, many of them, gave their hearts to the Lord.
Praise
be to God. And it was shortly after that that God released me and said, now, you can go. You know, and after I had, God opened the door to Church on the Rock, my Samuel, which I wanted so badly. He even gave me the name. But, you know, I and the earlier members of the church still had to give it back to him. You know, I see three people here who were with me right from the very beginning. Eileen, Craig, and Ruth. And I thank you for sticking with it. A lot of people didn't stick with it. Praise be to God. They went their own ways. God bless them. You know, God has blessed us. Praise be to God. But God led me to adopt certain conditions when he gave me this Samuel. He said, if he ever stopped providing, shut it down. It's over. Move on to something else. I have something else for you. Thank God he's never stopped providing and continues to provide for this day. We have never been in the red in this church. Not once. Even with all that nonsense and Kohler Town and everything else, never once been in the red because God provides. Hallelujah. He told me that no matter how rough the seas got, I could never abandon ship. Never. There were times that I wanted out. Lord, I can't take it anymore. I couldn't sleep. My stomach was in knots. He said, no, you stick it out. And finally he said that if we persisted, this body would become a beacon of light in the darkness. Praise be to God. And I believe it is, and I believe we haven't even begun to see the light that we are going to be. So I ask on a more personal note, what is your Samuel? What is yet to be filled as a desire of your heart? Are you willing to seek the Lord till he be found and until you know that he's going to give you the desire of your heart? And then are you willing to give it right back to him and say in all sincerity, not my will, but thine be done? You know, we often hear, it's become a cliche in the body of Christ, that if God is your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. He has to be the pilot. He has to be in charge every step of the way. And are we willing to let God be God and turn every blessing that he gives us back to him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Whatever is fit with you, that's what I want to do with this blessing. I'm reminded of a scripture in Proverbs 11:24. I'll read it. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. What it means to me in relation to this message is, like I talked about last week, give and it shall be given unto you. In so many different ways. And the latter part of the verse speaks to me in that it's telling me that if I withhold what I've received from the Lord, it will lead to spiritual poverty. I need to give it out. Whatever it is, give it back to the Lord and that let him do with it as he sees fit. Amen. I want to say a prayer, and then I want to read another piece of scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever our particular Samuels are, Father, that we would be willing to persist in seeking you one-on-one for those desires of our hearts, that we might delight in you and receive those desires, Lord God. And Father, I pray that whatever blessing or benefit you give to us, that we would be willing to dedicate back to you and allow you to do with it whatever is right in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read 1 Samuel. This is the song of Hannah, chapter 2. Because this should be our view of and our attitude towards God as we seek Him for those things that our hearts truly desire. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged." In other words, he puts a smile on my face. "Over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Praise be to God. That's the God we serve. And that's how we have to see him, in his almightiness, in his absolute sovereignty, in his wonder and his glory, in his all-powerfulness. Praise be to God. Realizing our place, humble before him, but also that there is nothing impossible for him. Nothing. Whatever our hearts desire, unless they're of an ungodly nature, God can bring it to pass if we trust in him, if we seek him with all of our hearts. And once he does, we have to be willing to say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. I was going to close with one song, but since we don't have words, how about if we just do one that we probably all know? I hope you have the music for it. "Amazing Grace." Praise God. I don't have it, sorry. You want to do "Shine, Jesus, Shine"? That's what I picked out originally.
That sounds good.
All right.
Drum roll.
By the truth, you have bring us shine on.
righteous, search me, try me, consume all my darkness, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, bless Spirit, bless, set our hearts on fire, flow river, flow, flow the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly promises, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Spirit, hear, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me,
close in prayer, please.
Lord, we thank you for this good day. I thank you, Father, for your presence here. And I just thank you, Father, that where you are, there's peace that passes all understanding. There is love, and that more abundantly. There is grace pouring out onto your people, in mercy and kindness. And Lord, we all have those needs that Pastor was talking about, and Hannah suffered with and cried out unto you. And here we are, Lord, in your presence. And we all have those things to cry out for. The first thing I think of in my life is my mother's salvation. But we all have those things, Lord, that we cry out for. And we give them to you, Lord. We just offer them to you. And we pray, Father, that as we offer up those things that we really care about that fall short of your glory, that you would have mercy and bring an answer, Lord. Bring a healing, bring a restoration, bring a salvation, bring a bondage-breaking move of your Spirit, Lord, into those situations, whatever they be. For we yield ourselves wholly unto you, as Samuel was offered wholly unto you. And we bring those things as a sacrifice, knowing that when we give, you always give in return. But we give to you because we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray, Father, that you would hear our cries and fulfill the needs that we are crying out for, Lord. And so, Father, we pray, Father, that you would raise us up from glory to glory, yielding ourselves unto you, and that we would walk in the light as you are in the light, and that we would manifest your glory each new day more and more, that others might see Jesus Christ, the hope that lies within us, and be drawn to your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, oh Father, we thank you that you have called us to be more than conquerors. And so we yield our lives unto you, looking unto the kingdom and not unto the world, yielding ourselves unto the things that cannot be moved rather than the things that are constantly being shaken. And we thank you for this opportunity, for the life that you have given us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.